broadcasting worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from the heart of the nation's capital. This is Morning Glory.
On Monday, January 22nd, 2018, a day of prayer for the legal protection of unborn children, we begin the day and the work week giving glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory, Lord God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. It's a blessing to have you with us for Morning Glory on this day of prayer for the legal protection of unborn children, the 45th anniversary of the Supreme Court decision that legalized abortion in the United States. Good morning. From Guadalupe Studios in Washington, D.C., I'm Brian Patrick, and we're joined from Miami this morning by Dr. Gracie Christie, who's in for Gloria Purvis. Good to see you, Gracie.
Good morning. So happy to be here on a beautiful Florida morning and a beautiful D.C. morning, I'm sure.
And in Guadalupe Studios, our producer is Elisa Murphy, and from right down the street at Holy Comforter St. Cyprian Parish, the pastor, Monsignor Charles Pope, is our godly counsel to lead us in prayer.
Lord, we do pray today. This day is a day of prayer and perhaps fasting or abstinence for some of us for the legal protection of our unborn children. Help us, Lord. We resist an evil law, the Roe v. Wade decision, and its effects. They're evil because it doesn't conform with your divine and eternal law. And so, Lord, help us to resist this and to see its overturn, and help us to each year put greater and greater protections in place for the protection of our unborn children. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen. And Gloria in Los Angeles for the Los Angeles Walk. What was that called? One Walk LA.
That's one,
right?
One Life LA.
One Life LA. She's remaining on the West Coast this week. So from Miami, we have Dr. Gracie Christie joining us. Gracie, would you share a thought from Mother Angelica, please?
We did not happen to be. We were chosen by God to exist. His providence placed us in a time and state of life that would bring out our greatest potential.
A beautiful thought from our foundress, Mother Angelica, on this very special day. Much of the federal government remains closed this morning. The Senate inched closer but fell short of an agreement that would have reopened federal agencies before the beginning of the work week. Negotiations continued well into Sunday night. Democrats insist on a spending bill that would include protection for young immigrants. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is proposing funding the government through February 8th and addressing immigration legislation then if no agreement is reached earlier. A vote is now scheduled for noon today on a three-week funding measure. Meanwhile, 800,000 federal employees are furloughed until a deal is reached. Speaker of the House Paul Ryan is frustrated.
We do some crazy things in Washington, but this is utter madness.
Utah Senator Orrin Hatch blames Democrats for holding up a House-passed government funding bill.
This is the greatest country in the world, but we do have some really stupid people representing it from time to time.
Director of the Office of Management and Budget, Mick Mulvaney, blames Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer for what he calls the Schumer shutdown. In the shadow of the March for Life, the House of Representatives passes a bill Friday requiring medical care for babies surviving abortion. The Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act requires proper medical treatment for babies who survive an abortion attempt. The bill mandates fines and the possibility of imprisonment for medical professionals found in violation. Most pro-life marchers are back home this morning after traveling to Washington for Friday's 45th annual March for Life. EWTN offered nonstop Catholic coverage as the March for Life president, Jeannie Mancini, opened Friday's rally.
On behalf of the board and the whole March for Life team, I would like to welcome you to the 45th annual March for Life, the largest... That's right. You are part of the largest annual human rights demonstration in the world.
House Speaker Paul Ryan spoke personally, reflecting on the strong turnout.
Looking out on this crowd, I can see there are people from all ages, all walks of life, But the young people here is what is so inspiring, because it tells us that this is a movement that is on the rise.
And for the first time, marchers were addressed by a sitting president of the United States, President Trump, speaking from the White House Rose Garden.
The March for Life is a movement born out of love. You love your families, you love your neighbors, you love our nation, and you love every child, born and unborn, because you believe that every life is sacred.
The president proclaimed today the 45th anniversary of the Supreme Court decision legalizing abortion in the U.S., National Sanctity of Human Life Day. The Holy Father sent a message saying that every life counts from the beginning to the end, from conception to natural death. Pope Francis is returning to the Vatican today after a week-long apostolic journey to South America. His plane took off from the Peruvian capital Sunday evening following a huge outdoor mass. Earlier in the day, the Pope told nuns from different contemplative orders in Peru that cloisters play a fundamental role in the life of the church. More than 500 sisters gathered in Lima's Shrine of the Lord of Miracles, hearing the message of Pope Francis. Your prayers of intercession embrace the many families experiencing difficulties, the unemployed, the poor, the sick, and those struggling with addiction. Speaking at a home for orphans in the Peruvian city of Puerto Maldonado, Pope Francis says young people are a reflection of the child Jesus. He invites them to be a light of hope to the world. Vice President Mike Pence is now in Jerusalem meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. His Middle East mission began in Cairo, where he met Saturday with the president of Egypt. Pence says they discussed the decision to move the U.S.-Israeli embassy to Jerusalem and reaffirm the U.S. commitment to the Middle East process.
If the parties agree, we will support a two-state solution. My perception was that he was encouraged by that message. I told him I would be delivering that message in Jordan, delivering that message in Israel as well.
Following his meeting with Vice President Mike Pence, Jordan's King Abdullah II said East Jerusalem must remain the capital of a future Palestinian state. The Taliban claims responsibility for a 12-hour-long siege on a luxury hotel in Kabul, Afghanistan. The attack on the Intercontinental Hotel left at least 18 people dead and more than 150 had to be rescued. Police say all five assailants were killed in a shootout, which started late Saturday night. The same hotel was attacked by the Taliban in 2011. Also in the news this morning, the International Olympic Committee will allow 22 athletes from North Korea to compete in next month's Olympics in South Korea. IOC President Thomas Bach says the delegation, including two dozen coaches and other North Korean officials, will join with South Korea marching under one flag at the opening ceremony.
I'm sure that this will be a very emotional moment, not only for all Koreans, but also for the entire world.
Athletes from the North and South will play together on a joint Korean women's hockey team. Just ahead of a look at the weather with Elisa Murphy and some conversation between Dr. Gracie Christie and Monsignor Charles Pope, a quick look at sports. The Eagles earned their first Super Bowl berth since 2005 in a 38-7 rout of the Minnesota Vikings. Nick Foles threw for three touchdowns, including this one to Torrey Smith.
They come right back. It's a flea flicker. Back to Foles. He's going deep down the far side of the field. And it is caught! Touchdown! Torrey Smith! 41 yards!
It's about to get turned up in here.
Philadelphia faces New England in the Super Bowl. The Pats playing for the championship for the ninth time, the eighth time under Brady. Tom Brady is starting quarterback. Here's Elisa now with your Monday forecast.
Morning glory weather.
Mild temps in the Midwest for your Monday. Rain this morning in Grand Rapids, reaching a high of 48 for those tuning in on Holy Family Radio this morning. A high of 34 with some snow today in Portland, Maine, for those on the Presence Radio Network. And here in our nation's capital, partly cloudy skies in the mid-60s for those tuned to the Guadalupe Radio Network.
And it was a fine day for the March for Life on Friday. Gracie and Monsignor, I know both of you were there.
Yeah, it was great today. Yeah. I think the weather was just, as you say, perfect for that day. It was just a Christmas in the air, but it wasn't chilly or really cold. And I think that, I don't know, Gracie, what you thought. I think the numbers were good, were very strong. I think up from last year, and continuing to grow.
Yeah, the entire area was just filled, as far as the eye could see, with enthusiastic, lovely, mostly young people. It does one's heart so much good to go to the march and see how the future of our pro-life ideals is safe in the hands of really enthusiastic, beautiful young people.
Amen. Yeah. I also want to say, you know, sometimes people are a little, it's a little paradoxical when you think about it. And it's such a sorrowful thing that we're, you know, looking at. Yet there's such joy and celebration of life. And so I think that what we have to say is, yes, you know, the paradox is very real in that the occasion is one of sadness, but all the more reason to celebrate that we do have life and what a beautiful gift life is, even with its hardships. It is a beautiful, wonderful thing to be alive and to see such joy and so on. My rectory was also pretty full, I'll say, Brian.
Yeah.
I pack it in with seminarians and other visitors for the march, and we're just up the street, you know, from the Supreme Court. So it's all, it's quite a lively time.
Oh, I bet that deepens your experience, though, Monsignor, because, you know, you're not there just for the march itself, but you have that conversation before and after. I was in a restaurant far away from D.C. yesterday, and the folks in the booth next to us had been at the march as well, and they were talking about it, and how Bishop Roger Foyes from our Diocese of Covington was leading. They had 18 busloads go from this small diocese, which is actually suburban Cincinnati, but it's obviously on the Kentucky side of the river, so it's not part of the Archdiocese of Cincinnati. But Gracie, what was your experience this year? I know you've been there a number of times.
So I spent most of the time in the media tent, speaking to different different interviewers from different parts of the media, a lot of, I would say mostly on the conservative side, but definitely a lot of people had a lot of interest in this march, and I was glad that they were covering it. I didn't see as much media coverage of that march as the following one, but what's interesting to me is if you compare the two marches, the women's march that took place after the March for Life, that joy and that optimism and that hope is really all on our side. On the side of pro-choice or pro-abortion, there's a lot of negativity, a lot of anger. It's worth watching, if you can, on the coverage, a little bit of both sides, and seeing where the joy and the happiness are.
But the language often used by secular media kind of tries to flip-flop that in calling us anti-abortion and the other side pro-choice. You're taking two negatives, anti and abortion, applying it to life. And I love the fact that it's called the March for Life, because they're at least forced to say the word life, you know, at least once.
Yeah.
The pro-life moniker is lost on the secular media. They just don't want to use it.
You know, Brian, just on that point, it was amazing over the weekend. Marjorie Dannenfelser had actually, you know, the Susan B. Anthony list made a call over to AP regarding the fact of the anti-abortion talk. And this time over the weekend was the very first time I saw reports of secular media actually using the word pro-life marchers.
Interesting, because we talked about that on Friday. And,
yes.
And in case, you know, if you're not in professional journalism, you're not aware that most journalism outlets get their basic information from the Associated Press. That is the wire service that's been around for more than 100 years. And they take that and you know, we use the Associated Press as well, but we modify the language because, you know, they speak in a different language than us in terms of the life issue. But that's a very interesting point. I'm glad that somebody listened.
Yeah, and I want to say that explains a lot, Brian, because it's amazing to me how, it just seems like the same points are parroted about, and it's almost a thoughtless parroting of, you know, things that other people say. And the media spend most of the time imitating each other, so that I think that explains a lot. I think in terms of the march, I want to also add that in terms of our marching and so on, I did stop by the Supreme Court, and some of the protesters were our counter-protesters, in other words, the pro-choice people were there, and engaged them a little bit. They were basically of small in number, extremely loud, with huge megaphones trying to drown us out, but they were not successful. We just simply, you know, overwhelmed them with numbers. It's our day, and it's an important day, and I do believe in this country we're winning this battle. It's been a long battle for people's hearts and for their, you know, to come to see this. And I think medical science is with us. We're on the way. It's going to still take time, but God's been good to us.
Well, Dr. Gracie Christie is a physician, so I'm sure she has some more thoughts on that she'll share later in the show. And Gracie's going to talk with David Scott next. He is the subject of a short documentary film called I Lived on Parker Avenue. It's a fascinating story. You'll hear
Catholic
about it next.
From the start,
because every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak.
More to Life is about living the Catholic difference in our marriages, our families, the way we approach life in general.
It's about celebrating life and our Catholic faith and discovering all the ways God wants to bless us and help us be a blessing to others.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak, weekdays 10 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
You know, I didn't want to hurt my child. It's not what was happening in my mind at that time. It was just all the fear and the panic. And you've got Planned Parenthood telling you it's not a baby, and it just gets all so confusing. But I'm here to speak out that the aftermath of abortion is not worth it, because I cry every day for my children.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Listen to EWTN Radio day or night. Audio on demand brings you your favorite EWTN programs, prayers, and devotionals instantly to you for free. Visit EWTNapps.com and get started today.
This is Matthew Bunsen, co-host of Register Radio.
This is Lauren Ashburn, EWTN News Nightly anchor and managing editor.
This is Archbishop Robert Carlson, the Archbishop of St. Louis. Thanks for listening to EWTN Radio.
At Morning Glory, we never sleep. Connect with us on Facebook.
We encourage you to stay with EWTN Radio for Holy Mass at the top of the hour. On this day of prayer for the legal protection of unborn children, we all pray together, and you're starting your day with Morning Glory from Guadalupe Studios in Washington, D.C., where Elisa Murphy is our producer. Our godly counsel, Monsignor Charles Pope, who is the pastor of Holy Comforter St. Cyprian Parish here in the Archdiocese of Washington. Good morning, I'm Brian Patrick, and in for Gloria Purvis is Dr. Gracie Christie.
Good morning, and we have with us a guest, David Scotton, who is the subject of a documentary, a film about the beauty of adoption, something I'm very interested in as an adoptive mom, and this film is called I Lived on Parker Avenue. Good morning, David.
Good morning, thank you for having me.
Sure. Can you tell us what drove you to make this documentary? What drove you to make your story, your private story, public?
Sure. So the story is that my birth mother was in the abortion clinic in Indianapolis in 1993 and left and chose adoption. And I didn't know them for the longest time until I was around 17 or 18. And then I became in touch with them for the first time ever. And a local production company in Louisiana heard about the story. And out of the blue, asked if I wanted to have it filmed and to make this documentary. It's called Joie de Vie Media. And I prayed about it for a long time, and I decided that we had a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity here to really impact people on adoption in a way that we don't have right now. And so I prayed about it, thought about it for a long time. Go ahead.
David, what kind of thoughts are you trying to promote in this film? What do you hope for? What do you hope that comes out of this documentary?
It is our hope. When you look at the numbers of abortions performed in the United States of America to the amount of adoptions facilitated, it's about 100 to 2. And so we hope that this film will help decrease that ratio. And then on a personal note, I hope that this film can help destigmatize adoption in a way that may incentivize adoption. Because right now, you know, everywhere I go, I've done over 100 screenings around the United States. And every time I do a screening, I get asked, what was it like to meet your mom? And what was it like to meet your dad? And I always say, who I met was not my mom and not my dad. Who I met was my biological mother and my biological father. Mm-hmm. And so it is our hope that we can destigmatize the stigmas that are behind adoption.
Yeah, David, it's Monsignor.
And just share the beauty of adoption. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
It's Monsignor Pope. I want to say, I experience the same frustration. I've often suggested the possibility of adoption in crisis pregnancies, and people kind of look at me like I'm cruel, and I mean, well, it's certainly obviously more cruel to think about abortion, but it's amazing to
right.
me. I don't know the psychology behind it, but I want to affirm that. I guess I would also say, just you know, philosophically, we're all mindful, we're contingent beings, aren't we? There, your mother was at an abortion clinic, and she heard She heard an alternative, and she took it. And here you are. And thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. And
thanks
I think that what do you think we can do to really, as you began to say, I know, increase the awareness of the beauty of adoption?
Through this film, we've been doing exactly that. You know, we have visibly seen this film change lives on this issue. And this film's impacted people in ways we never imagined. When we're doing screenings in high schools, this is encouraging other people, other adoptees, to share their story for the first time. And it has been a beautiful thing. It's encouraging the sharing of stories. And even those who have negative experiences of adoption, this is making them see that adoption is a reason they have life still, and is making them appreciative for life. And this has impacted adoptive parents and birth parents as well, in seeing how the adoption is just a loving decision and not a bad decision.
David, I've experienced becoming a parent biologically and by adoption, and I have to say the adoption route is beautiful and at least
Absolutely.
As wonderful as becoming a parent by biology. Sometimes I go a little further and I say it might be even better. I feel a part of a miracle that involves a lot of different people. But it benefits certainly my daughter's father and I, my husband.
Right.
So I thank you so much for making this film and getting people on the adoption bandwagon. Do you hope to save lives from abortion through this?
Absolutely. And so one pro-life protester was outside of that abortion clinic back in 1993 and spoke to my birth mother. And as my birth mother was in the clinic, she thought back to what the lady had told her and left. And so we tried to meet that lady in this film, and we couldn't figure out who she was. But those people on that sidewalk save lives.
Amen.
And if this can inspire them, I mean, imagine how many lives that we can save through this film.
Yeah, I was out Saturday praying in front of an abortion clinic here in D.C., and once again, God bless our sidewalk counselors. And they do. We have saves. And I think sometimes it can be discouraging seeing one woman after another go in with a family and others. But nevertheless, there are saves and... Oh, my gosh, we're changing world history by that, just as you are an example, David, you know, with this magnificent movie. And I really hope that it will. I don't know if you've ever thought through some of the psychology of why so many people think adoption is just not an option. And do you have any thoughts on why you think so many just brush that off?
I do. I think there's just this personal feeling that if you can have a biological child, why would I want to adopt a child? Mm-hmm. You know, if I can have one, quote-unquote, of my own, mm-hmm. then why would I want to adopt someone else's? Because it is viewed biological children differently than adopted children. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a huge deterrent.
And David, as an adopted child, I wonder if you can share with others who might be in this situation the fact that rather than feeling rejected by your birth parents, that you can feel accepted and welcomed mm-hmm. by your adoptive parents. Chosen.
Right. I was chosen by them. And it's just a loving decision that they made. And it's a loving decision that my birth parents made. You know, it would have been an easy decision to go into the abortion clinic. Would have been done. It would have been $400 and they're out of there, you know. But this was a brave decision, a courageous decision. And it's still a decision that it's positive, but Melissa, my birth mother, still grapples with it. You know, it was a tough decision. And so meeting me for the first time and seeing the loving family that I was placed with just reaffirmed her that her decision was a loving decision. Mm-hmm. And that's the only reason
I
have life
right.
today.
You're so right, David. Adoption is a brave and loving and powerful decision for everyone involved. And I'm so glad you made this documentary. I can't wait to see it. And please check out on the web, I lived on parkeravenue.com, so you can access this.
Mm-hmm. And we go online for free March 8th, 2018.
All right. Awesome.
Great.
David Scott joining Dr. Gracie Christie, who's in for Gloria Purvis. It's 24 after the hour now. And Monsignor is going to talk more about praying for the unborn on this day that we observe 45 years of legalized abortion in the United States. But first, let's go to Catholic Chatter with our producer, Lisa Murphy.
You can find us online via Twitter at EWTN. You can also email directly morningglory@EWTN.com. We've heard from Carrie just moments ago, who was able to see that documentary last week here in Washington, D.C., and she said it was just so moving, and she hopes everyone will get a chance to see it. Again, coming out March 8th, free online. And we've also heard from Mary regarding, Gracie, your conversation with Monsignor about the semantics of the pro-abortion movement, as they say. March for Life definitely has a new message, and she says the pro-abortion movement links to contraception, euthanasia, transgender, and more same-sex deceptions.
And more prayer than ever is needed for the legal protection of unborn children, Monsignor.
Yeah, I think it surprises some people that after the March for Life, here we are, you know, a couple days later, then also doubling down on our prayers. But it's this is the actual anniversary of a very immoral decision. Immoral, again, because it does not conform with the divine and eternal law. That makes it no law at all. It is an anti-law. It is a form of, as the Catechism says, these sorts of laws are acts of violence. And this is literally an act of violence. So I think that we need to pray. Now, what we're invited to do today, priests can wear purple vestments as they say the Mass and enter into a day of some penance. Perhaps you might fast today or abstain from something or add a Divine Mercy chaplet or a rosary or whatever the Lord leads you to do. But this is a day to say, Lord, really, really, Lord, rescue us from our thinking in this and from our decision to rescue so many who are in danger of abortion. Rescue women who are pressured and often led and misled toward abortion. Please, Lord, save us, help us. You know, it's amazing when I think about it. We lost in World War II 405,000 soldiers. We can hardly imagine such death tolls today. Every year 1.2 to 1.3 million children are lost. We've lost between 50 and 60 million children since 1973. I mean, these numbers are just staggering. They're not even close to any. You know, about 500,000 a year die of heart disease. That's an astonishing number, but it's double that, more than double that, to abortion. So, I don't know, Brian and Gracie, I just think that we've just got to really say this is a call to prayer, and it tests our soul as a nation, but all of us as individuals, to say, I will pray, and I will work to turn this back.
Monsignor, I feel, as you're talking about God rescuing us, I feel that He's been sending us rescues and prophets and announcements. I work in fetal ultrasound, and one of the greatest changes that have happened, especially with young people, is that now we can look inside the womb, and we can see the miracle that is happening right from the beginning. I can see a fetal heartbeat as early as 5 weeks after conception. That is incredibly early, and I see the moms and the dads becoming emotionally connected to these little children. And I think that's a rescue from God for us.
An excellent point from our co-host, Dr. Gracie Christie. Coming up next, Teresa Tanio of Catholic Connection joins us with more on the March for Life. Stay tuned.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift. Morning Glory.
Morning Glory.
Raymond Arroyo.
Part of the success we've had on the world over, I attribute to the audience, my relationship with Mother Angelica, and her teaching me that when you sit with someone, you talk to them, and you create an environment where they will tell you things they wouldn't tell anyone else. That ease, that humor, that warmth, she gave me that, and that's what I try to impart and make a part of every interview we do on the world over.
The world over, tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
They share the most intimate moments of life and death with us. They pour the water of life into our souls. They feed us with living bread from heaven. They're waiting in the confessional to unburden us from sin. They receive the vows that transform man and woman into husband and wife. They're with us when we're sick, our final escorts from time into eternity. Greed, sexism, and abuse don't sum up the priesthood. The average priest makes under $35,000 a year. Jesus ordained men, but women never had to be priests to be important in the church. And there were 9 credible allegations of child abuse in 2013. That's out of about 40,000 U.S. priests. 1 is too many, but 9 don't define the rest. One word sums up the priesthood: love. Not the flawed love of human beings, the love of God, who promised that he'd always be with us and who reaches out and touches the world today through his priests. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.
We need Catholic radio because we need the voice of the church in the public forum. We live in a time that the secular voice dominates so thoroughly that we need to get that Catholic perspective out. Just as Fulton Sheen used radio and TV in the last century, we need to continue to use. This means to announce the Catholic faith in the public forum.
Bishop Robert Barron thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
On the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from Capitol Hill, this is Morning Glory.
It is half past the hour as Morning Glory continues from Guadalupe Studios in Washington. We thank the Guadalupe Radio Network for hosting us at its Washington affiliate, WMET. Good morning. I'm Brian Patrick, and in for Gloria Purvis this week, Dr. Gracie Christie. It's good to have you with us from Miami, Gracie.
Good morning, Brian. Good to be here.
Monsignor Charles Pope is our godly counsel and will help us begin the half hour in prayer.
Lord, as Gracie was reminding us, I'm so grateful to you, Lord, for giving us the medical technology that helps us to see into the womb. And I'm amazed that some of my young adults say that their first baby pictures are their ultrasounds. It's in their baby book. And thank you, Lord, for that. And help us to remember that our lives begin at conception, and you're knitting us together. You knit us together in our mother's womb. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that we are wonderfully, fearfully made. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And we thank God for Monsignor as our godly counsel today. Elisa Murphy, our producer at Guadalupe Studios. As we mentioned, Gloria Purvis is in Los Angeles this week, so we have Dr. Gracie Christie in. And Gracie, would you share Mother's thought again? That was really very, very inspirational on this day of prayer for the legal protection of the unborn.
We did not happen to be. We were chosen by God to exist. His providence placed us in a time and state of life that would bring out our greatest potential.
And we talked about being chosen earlier in an adoption situation, but how beautifully Mother puts it that we are all chosen by God to exist. And we thank God today for the gift of life and pray for the legal protection of the unborn, or as I like to say, the preborn. In the shadow of the March for Life, the House of Representatives passed a bill Friday. It would require medical care for babies who survive an attempted abortion. The Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act requires proper medical treatment for babies who survive this attempt on their life. It mandates fines and the possibility of imprisonment for medical professionals found in violation. Most pro-life marchers now back home this morning after traveling to Washington for the 45th annual March for Life. And for the first time, marchers were addressed by a sitting president of the United States, President Trump, speaking from the White House Rose Garden.
The March for Life is a movement born out of love. You love your families, you love your neighbors, you love our nation, and you love every child, born and unborn, because you believe that every life is sacred.
And I believe that both of you attended the March for Life. And we were told, by the way, that the president didn't personally appear at the rally because of security situations. Last year, Vice President Mike Pence spoke personally, and there was very heavy security for the march. Was the security as heavy this year, Gracie?
No, not at all. The security was a completely different animal from last year when the vice president was there. When the vice president arrived, the entire place was shut down in a big way. I'm very glad. The leaders of our nation deserve that kind of protection, and they need it. But President Trump from the Rose Garden spoke very beautifully about our country's commitment to pro-life. Definitely. Mm-hmm.
All right, and the president proclaimed today, which of course is the 45th anniversary of the Roe versus Wade Supreme Court decision, as National Sanctity of Human Life Day. Teresa Tomeo helped to anchor the field coverage of the March for Life on EWTN. Teresa is host of Catholic Connection and a dear friend. TT, good morning. Good to have you with us.
Hey, good morning, Brian. How are you?
Grateful. I didn't know that you got up this early, but we appreciate you making the exception for us.
Oh, come on. I go on the air at 8 o'clock. I have to get up by at least 7, right?
I know. Well, I watched you and Catherine Zeltner and Father Joseph Mary Wolfe and so many others on EWTN's coverage, which, by the way, has just moved forward so beautifully. An incredible look at an incredible event. What stood out to you most this year?
Well, I think what two things, and this is actually a neat observation that my 92-year-old mother made, and she watches every
Rosie.
Year when I'm on, and I got home and went to visit her yesterday, and we were watching the re-airing of it on TV, and she said, you know, I was watching it all day, and I noticed a lot more men, and I thought, you know, I was thinking about that as I was watching the march go by and interviewing so many men and women and young people, and I said, Mom, you're right. I think there are more men with their families and with some of the other pro-life groups just at Silent Lemoore. Now, there's always been a number of men in Silent Lemoore, but that is increasing. So that's number one. And I think just a reminder of the enthusiasm. I mean, we have been doing this, Brian. The pro-life movement has been at this, as Jeannie Mancini said, from the stage for 45 years in terms of coming out year after year, despite the weather. It was so beautiful this past Friday, but that was very unusual for us. Normally it's bitterly cold. And we keep coming and we keep growing. And she had a great statement saying this is the largest and the longest running human rights march in the world. And it's true. And to me, that just struck me as something that the enthusiasm that people have, and we are in this for the long haul. We hope it's not as long. We hope it, of course, to overturn Roe v. Wade in our lifetime. But we're in it for no matter how long it takes.
Teresa, how interesting that you make mention of the fact that there were more men than we're used to seeing at the march. I think people who don't understand the pro-life movement can't imagine that this is a largely female movement, women who understand what abortion takes away from us and how abortion breaks our hearts. Can you comment about that?
Well, I think what's happening is we're seeing the shockwaves of abortion. My friend Janet Miranda from Defending Life and Catholic View on EWTN has a brand new book out. I think that's a perfect title because when you take a human life, it not only affects that individual life, it affects the mother greatly, where there's mounds of research all over the place and studies, even a recent one that came out in December that was published in a medical journal on what women suffer. But we're hearing from more and more men, whether it be a father who had no say in the matter, whether it be a father who encouraged the father of the baby who encouraged his wife or his girlfriend to have the abortion, or maybe it was a sibling, a male sibling, or maybe it's just a man who knows deep down, as my husband does, because my husband is a sidewalk counselor and a deacon, and he's been pro-life forever. I always wasn't. I had a huge conversion on that topic, amongst many other things. But I think what we're seeing is the fallout being revealed in the shockwaves being revealed in so many ways. Yes, obviously, this affects women greatly and to the point where we're eliminating a lot of female lives, these women who are so-called marching for women's rights, and yet they still want the right to kill babies, and many of whom are women. So I think men are understanding more, and they're speaking out. I know I've interviewed so many men over the years, and last year when I was in your studios doing my show from there, from WMET, I had a man call up. He and his wife were on his way, and they were listening to the show, and he said that he was involved in an abortion, and it had been over 30 years, and it still affected him. He had gone through Rachel's Vineyard, obviously gone to confession, but he said that he still carried it with him. So I think we're seeing the results of the impact of abortion.
We're going to listen to much more of your discussion on this on Catholic Connection starting at 9 Eastern on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We like to call it TT on CC. Teresa Tomeo with Catholic Connection joining us on Morning Glory, or MG. Thank you, Teresa. Have a blessed day. We'll listen for you on Catholic Connection.
Thanks, Brian. Always great to talk to you. Thanks for the opportunity. God bless.
All right. Much of the federal government remains closed today. The Senate inched closer but fell short of an agreement that would have reopened federal agencies before the beginning of the work week. We're now told there will be a vote at noon today, but in the meantime, about 800,000 federal employees are furloughed until a deal can be reached. At 22 till now, a quick look at sports ahead of the forecast. And Gloria did leave us amusing before she left for Los Angeles. The Eagles earned their first Super Bowl berth since 2005 with a 38-7 win over the Minnesota Vikings. They'll play the Patriots, who are in the Super Bowl for the ninth time, and it's the eighth under Tom Brady as starting quarterback. Brady passed for 290 yards, leading a 24-20 comeback over Jacksonville in the AFC Championship game. Here's Elisa now with your forecast ahead of Gloria.
Morning Glory weather.
Rain across the Lone Star State for your Monday. A wet day in Houston, reaching a high of 66. If you're listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network this morning, mild temps in the Pacific Northwest. Sacred Heart Radio listeners in Seattle expect partly cloudy skies with a high of 46. And a rainy morning for our Redeemer Radio family listening in Fort Wayne. Temps in the mid-50s today.
All right, it's 21 till now as Morning Glory continues on this 22nd of January, a Monday in the third week of Ordinary Time. Our godly counsel, Monsignor Charles Pope, will have some further thoughts on temptation after we are hear about that from Gloria Purvis, who left us her music before leaving on her trip.
So I don't know if you all watch TV, but while I was home over the Christmas break, I got to see these commercials on TV that just sort of struck me as really, wow. Well, there's one commercial where you see a lady in line at a, I guess, a discount furniture store. And then she's loaded down with all her bags, sort of walk running out of the store. And she's like, get the car, get the car. And I realized through the commercial, she's trying to escape because she thinks they made a mistake and rung up her goods that she bought for too low a price. She thinks she's getting away with a steal. Well, I was thinking, yeah, it's a steal. It is stealing. If you honestly believe that the cashier rung up an item at a lower price and it's the wrong price, and you knowingly run out of the store at that lower price, knowing that you didn't pay full price, you know, that's actually wrong. That's actually stealing. And, you know, maybe you go to the grocery store. Let me give you an example. And the water is under the shopping cart, or something's under the shopping cart, and the cashier doesn't ring it up, and you know it's there. You have an obligation to ask the cashier, hey, did you get that thing under the cart right there? Don't want you to miss it. Or let's say you go to like quick takeout restaurant and they rang up the wrong item, something that's much less than what you are supposed to pay. You know, you need to say something. Why do I say that? Because really these are the sneaky temptations for us to sin, for us to say, oh, nobody will know. I know this, they're making a mistake and I can take advantage of that. No, you really can't. So watch out for those little sneaky temptations where you think, ah, nobody knows, or hey, they made a mistake and it's to my benefit. No, it's not to your benefit, and it is theft. Let's be honest, let's be Christian, and let's ask the Lord to help us watch out for those sneaky temptations.
Amen. You know, I have to add to that, God is watching.
Yeah,
every now and again when I've gone up to a bunch of kids in the school every now and again and say, you know, they're all goofing off and misbehaving. I go up and say, God is watching. Ooh. But I think that, you know, I think regarding temptations, we have to, the other way of translating the Greek word that's often translated temptation is test. And, you know, these moments like what Gloria is describing, you know, they test our character. You know, are we going to do what's right even if it doesn't, you know, benefit us? Are we going to speak to, you know, she gave the example, but there are so many other little moments where, will I stand up and correct an error even if I don't benefit from it? Say, well, that isn't really true. So-and-so didn't do that, so I really shouldn't be given this project. They should. Or will we do those things? And those are those moments where our character is tested and we start to learn what we're made of. And so again, those are, I would say that. I would say on the other hand, though, I want to also comfort people that I think sometimes, especially with temptations of thought, maybe it's unchaste thoughts or unkind or unholy thoughts. Remember, a temptation is not a sin. We haven't sinned yet. It's a situation or a thought that's presented to us. But until we decide and go with that thought or temptation, you know, we haven't sinned yet. And I think sometimes people forget that. They feel like, you know, they're plagued with tempting thoughts, again, whether unchastity or unkindness or what have you. It's not the same as actually sinning. So we need to make, and I know, I realized, by the way, that sometimes there's the distance between the paint and the wall. I mean, when have I consented or not? But give yourself a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. And God is not laying a snare to just trap us in the lightest thing. But these things do test us. But on the other hand, don't become too despairing when in temptation either.
I'm so glad you brought that up, Monsignor, because I am tempted in so many ways, but I found that temptation is a call to prayer for me. That's when I really go to very sincere prayer, because I know that my humanness will give in to the temptation when only the Lord can keep me from it.
Amen to that. You know, I have to say also, please.
Monsignor, Gloria brings up those situations where sometimes we're tempted to sin, like stealing, for really just because out of laziness, we're too lazy to get back out of our car and haul the water back into the grocery store and say, please charge me for this. So it's not that we're dishonest; it's that we love our own comfort too much.
Yeah, it is sometimes. Yeah, as I say, it's an inconvenience to do the right thing, and that's like I say, when it really tests our character, then doesn't it, Dr. Gracie? I think that we're Again, these are the things that, as I say, show us what we're made of. And, you know, even in a situation like that, if one couldn't reasonably get in because you got kids and so on, then put something in the poor box. But yeah. don't take what isn't yours.
Yeah, and let's not fall for the lure of society that really fosters convenience and comfort over character. I mean, we are really called to build character, and that often means giving up convenience.
Amen. Amen.
All right, Jason Jones will be with us, Monsignor. You'll be talking with him next.
Yeah, we're going to find out. Facebook blocked a project he's working on. We need to find out more about what that's all about. So we'll do that next.
He's helped with producing some really great pro-life films. Stay with us for Morning Glory here on EWTN.
Every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to wreck?
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary in our
community. As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
John 6, verses 48 to 58. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread," meaning me. "This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat of it and never die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh." At which the Jews disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" They're scandalized by this. How is it that we're not? How is it that we just hear this and go, "Oh yeah, I know that passage"? They're just outraged and at least perplexed. Sane people, inspired teachers, wise men, prophets don't say things like this.
We value your opinion. Email morningglory at EWTN.com.
Are you too critical of yourself and others? This is all wrong. Take Two with Jerry and Debbie tonight, or today at noon, is a great encore. We encourage you to check it out on EWTN Radio as you start your Monday with EWTN's Morning Glory from Washington, D.C. I'm Brian Patrick. Joining us today from Miami, Dr. Gracie Christie in for Gloria Purvis. Good morning, Gracie.
Good morning from sunny Miami.
And good morning to Elisa Murphy, our producer. And our godly counsel is the pastor of Holy Comforter, St. Cyprian Parish, Monsignor Charles Pope.
And we are joined by Jason Jones, a well-known and wonderful filmmaker and reporter for The Stream. And we want to talk about your latest project and so on. But I think we also want to begin by saying you've run into some problems with Facebook censoring crowdsourcing for the film, for your film, your recent film on Roe v. Wade. And by the way, Alveda King, I think, is the executive producer. So tell us a little bit about that, and then we want to certainly get into more positive ways, the wonderful work you're doing. But tell us a little bit about the Facebook situation.
Well, good morning, Monsignor. And it's not my film. I'm not a producer of the film, but I am definitely a supporter and friend of all of the producers and getting behind it. Mm-hmm. You know, in filmmaking, there's what's called the hero's journey. It's sort of the structure of every story ever told. And you're not on a hero's journey until there are obstacles in your way, until threshold guardians arise. And every film is a hero's journey. But when you're trying to make a film like this one to tell the truth, you know, that shatters the myth, the lie that the abortion culture is built on, you couldn't begin doing something like this and not expect obstacles put in your way. And you know what? But these obstacles become opportunities, because our folks sometimes don't want to show up for a fight until they see this kind of obvious injustice. So I think the mistake that Facebook made is they're going to wake up the pro-life movement, which is the largest social movement in the history of the world. And if the pro-life movement gets behind this crowdsourcing campaign, just the way they did with the Gosnell film, and I'll say this, the Gosnell film, I don't know if you've had an opportunity to see it in any of the special screenings yet. It's not my film, although I play a CNN reporter in the movie. It's a powerful, beautiful film. It's made, and now they're just
now trying to get distribution, and Hollywood is throwing obstacles in the way of that film. But again, you're not if there are no obstacles in your life, you're not on a hero's journey.
Amen. Amen to that.
You're putzing around in your backyard or something. I don't know what you're doing with your life.
I find it interesting you're now playing a part in the movie, a CNN reporter. How'd you like that?
Well, you know, I just tried to look smarmy.
Define smarmy.
My friends put me in all. I'm in Little Boy, I play a gangster. I'm in Atlas Shrugged, I play the mayor's aide. So my friends always give me these little roles that involve absolutely not a single line.
Yeah, you know, I loved Little Boy. That was really a great movie. And Gracie was talking earlier about that short documentary Crescendo.
So I was looking. I was looking you up last night, getting prepared for the show. You and I actually met a couple of days ago at the AWTN studios in person. But I realized you were involved in that beautiful short film Crescendo. And I rewatched it last night. I encourage all our listeners to look that up on YouTube. It's just beautiful about a very important woman who chose life. And gave us a big, beautiful gift. Can you tell us about that film?
Yeah, you know, that film, my business partner, Jennifer Cadena, who's a Colombian actress, and I, we had received our 1,000th letter from a mom who was scheduled to have an abortion and chose life because she saw our film, Bella. And we had sat in front of a whiteboard, and we said, you know, we want to make a short film now in this age of social media that can have that. Young people can share with each other. If a friend's about to have an abortion, you can share a short film. But at the same time, Eduardo Verástegui, another one of our business partners, had told us he heard that the cathedrals in Europe were built to last until our Lord returned. I said, let's make a work of art that transcends time and culture, that could advance the dignity of the child in the womb for the rest of human history. And so we started on a whiteboard, and we knew we needed to find a true story that we could be confident that everybody in the world loves today and everybody in the world will love 2,000 years from now. And this was the script that Alonso Alvarez Barreda wrote for us, and then he wrote and directed. And we poured a lot into it. It's a 12-minute movie that cost us over $600,000, but it has about $1.2 million in it. Everybody worked for free. And that was our goal, to make a little work of art that would transcend time and would advance the dignity of the child in the womb until our Lord returns.
Amen. Well, you succeeded. That is a work of art. Those 12 minutes are a beautiful work of art.
Amen. And, you know, I just listening to myself say that, I know I sound crazy to your audience, but that was our goal.
No, indeed. Listen, Jason, I want to just say again, we're so grateful. You can see just the three of us really excited about all the so many of the things you've done. And what are you planning some things in the future you can reveal to us? What's coming next?
Yeah, you know, one project that's really been the project of my heart, it's getting very close to going into production. It's a documentary on abortion through the eyes of Hollywood's biggest celebrities and through their works of art, through music. It's called Broken Heart Sing, and it's a documentary that looks at pop music, movies, TV shows, and as artists express the sorrow of their abortion. And the idea comes from a quote I saw from Bono, which was, he said, "I lie all the time. I only always tell the truth when I sing." And so, for example, Eminem's new song "River," it's heartbreaking, and it's a song about his abortion, his involvement in an abortion. And then another documentary we're doing on the rise of ISIS and the genocide of the Yazidis through the eyes of a Yazidi girl, a friend of mine, she's become my friend, who was a slave of ISIS, a sex slave of ISIS, and. You know, I'm a filmmaker by default. I have a Catholic apostolate, a pro-life apostolate. I've been in the pro-life movement for 30 years, and I got involved in filmmaking as part of our apostolate. I see it as ancillary. It's just probably the best way, mass media is the best way to communicate, you know, the vision of the human person to as many people as possible.
Yeah. Well, listen, we can find out, I guess, more about these things also. Is it stream.org? Is it the best place, or...? Where should we go?
Yeah, I write for The Stream, which is, by the way, my favorite publication, and all of my favorite writers are there. And also, our website is movietomovement.com.
Movie to Movement. Is that the number two?
T-O.
Okay. Movie to Movement. Okay. God bless you. Thank you for all your wonderful work. And we have to wrap it up now, but Let's pray for one another and thank you for this great work. A lot of bridge building going on there too. It's going to be wonderful to see these projects continue to come out. So God bless you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right, Jason Jones. That reminds me, I'm going to watch Bella again. That was just an incredible pro-life film. It's coming up on 6 minutes till now, and we're going to go to Monsignor for a look at today's gospel from the third chapter of St. Mark. But first, let's do a little Catholic chatter. Our producer, Lisa Murphy.
We've heard from Megan this morning, who loves Jason Jones, and loved hearing him talk with Catherine Zeltner on Friday with our coverage of the March for Life on EWTN-TV. It was just an outstanding job by the entire team. We've also heard from Mike on Gloria's musing regarding stealing, and he says he and his wife are always mindful of making sure all the drinks, everything's tallied correctly with the waitress.
By the way, you mentioned Catherine. Catherine and Matt Hadro will be married in less than 2 weeks. I can't wait to be part of that celebration. In fact, overseeing, being our celebrant for the Mass that day, is our godly counsel for Tuesday, Father Thomas Petrie.
Yes.
In the meantime, Monsignor is going to help us through today's gospel from Mark 3.
Yeah, you know, Jesus is accusing of driving out demons by the power of Beelzebul. And Jesus says, you all are crazy. You know, it doesn't make any sense. Why would Satan drive out Satan? And so again, he says, look, it's by the power of God that I drive them out. And listen, Lord, we need help now, Lord, for you to drive some demons out of all of us. I mean, not that we're possessed, but Lord, we know that demons are tempting us, and certainly in our world and our culture. So please, Lord, we need some demons driven out of our own personal hearts, out of our country, out of our family. Lord, continue this work. That's what we want to just keep calling and asking God to drive out all these things which afflict us so gravely. So it is the Lord's work to drive out demons. Ask him, Lord, deliver me. Amen.
All right, stay with EWTN Radio for Holy Mass on most of these affiliates on this day of prayer for the legal protection of unborn children. Monsignor Charles Pope, thank you for your spiritual guidance today, and we'll see you next Monday.
Yes.
And Gracie, we'll see you in the morning.
We'll see you very early.
Yeah, Dr. Gracie Christian for Gloria Purvis this week. Father Thomas Petrie is our godly counsel. Elisa, who will our guests be?
We're going to talk business ethics with Dr. Mario Ensler tomorrow.
We hope you can join us then. In the meantime, please pray with us now. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
All right. Connecting from all points across the U.S. on Morning Glory, thanks for being with us. Stay with EWTN Radio. We'll talk with you again in the morning. Have a blessed day.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift.